We've like chatted about a few questions, haven't we? So I will ask a question, and then you use that mic down here. We'll use this one on this table, and tell us your answer. But first of all, just introduce yourself and what school year you're in.
My name is Daisy, and I'm in year 10.
I'm Rosie, and I'm in year 10 too.
I'm Ephemina, and I'm in year 9.
I'm Toby, and I'm in year 10.
I'm Adam, and I'm one of the oldest. I'm in year 12. Wow, it's so old, isn't it?
He's so old! So old, wrinkles are emerging. Could you hear everyone all right? Yeah, marvellous. Good, so you have all been at church for different amounts of time. I suppose faith will have looked a little bit different for you all. Could you tell us a bit about how you came to find your faith in Jesus and call yourself a Christian?
Mine's one of the really, really long stories, but my parents always took me to this church like every Sunday. So I've been going for like 15 years, which is a very long time. But only until like I went to Thrive the first time, and that kind of opened my eyes a little bit. And then the year after I went, and there was a lady at the bottom of the stairs in like the main hall on the last night that told me that Jesus loves you, he has a plan for you. And that was kind of like the beginning of it, really. I think a year later I got baptized, and I've just been following Jesus ever since.
I think mine's a bit of the opposite of Daisy's. I just sort of went to church with my friend, and then I came to this church. I don't really know. I don't know the last 3 years. But yeah, I think I got baptised not long after being in the church. Got baptised last November. Yeah, no, nothing too special about mine.
Mine's a bit similar to Daisy's. I was born in a Christian family. But I think when I really started coming in a relationship with God was, I think when I moved here and I saw it was quite different from my other church, because my other church was quite like loud and very lively, that you sometimes you didn't even get enough time to be intimate with God. And when I saw the way like this church was very calm and very, like it gave you an opportunity to look for God and actually seek him openly, I started doing that instead of treating my relationship with God as something I had to do, but something I wanted to do.
Just like Daisy and Ephemena, I was born into Christianity, and I think my relationship started when I was quite young, because every Sunday I'd go to church, then at some point I started fasting on Sundays during like certain period of times, and I'd read the Bible with my family, and I got baptized, I think, maybe 4 or 3 years ago. Confirmation.
Mom says 3. Yeah.
And I just think that it was a bit easier for me to slide into it because I've had a supportive family who has always tried to install the fear of God and the love of Jesus in me.
Yeah, so my story is quite different. I started the first like 12, 13 years of my life not having any clue about faith, just living my life as a normal kid in year 7, despite COVID. And then just coming out of COVID, I got invited to the youth here by one of my mates who doesn't come here, but I'm praying that he will. And then from there, I just started turning up. He caught me coming in. And he got me to come because of the two for one pound cans at the tuck shop. That was what got me. So, and any offer can start people's faith. And then from the youth, I ended up turning up to Thrive. I've been 4 years now, but it was on the second time that I went that I had a leader from a different church come to me and speak to me. And he was saying, I can see that you're trying, but I really think that now is the time where you say yes. And I never spoke to the guy. I was a little bit weirded out. But overall, like, I sort of felt this like wind. It's quite weird to explain, but I can't explain it with anything other than God. And I'll stop in a second, I'm yapping. And about, yeah, so since then, I've been following faith. I started coming to church in November after being invited by a certain family. And then in around Easter, I think it was 2023, I got baptized. So yeah, and I've been since.
I should probably admit that those cans aren't on the same offer. But we will make a new offer if it gets young people saved. Come on. We'll take the hit. It's funny, isn't it, when you think about your own story, sometimes we can think we've had to have this massive transformation story for it to be special. But whether yours is a story of faithful obedience to God from being born until now, or whether it is that God saved you out of like a desperate place, it matters. And it's powerful and it's worth sharing. So you've told us a bit about how you found Jesus. So can you tell us, who is Jesus to you?
I would say Jesus to me is like my best friend. Like someone I can go to when I'm angry, upset, or just like really happy. Like I can tell him about anything and just always leave so much better. I'll go to him angry and always leave with a weight lifted off my shoulders. And that's just like all I ever need.
I find it quite hard to describe what God is, as I can imagine a lot of people do, because God's sort of like an all-rounder, just does everything for you. I mean, he does. I mean, I can go to him angry, like Daisy said, and come out nice and peaceful, or I can go to him in just any time. I can't really describe him as one thing to me. It's just like one relationship.
Unlike Daisy, I couldn't really describe Jesus as a friend to me, because my friendships, they're very, very weird. My best friend in the entire world, I only speak to her twice a year. We'll go 8 months without speaking, and I remember, oh my goodness, I've got this one friend. I talk for 4 hours, and then back to just like silence for about half a year, and then we do it again. So I can't really have that kind of relationship with Jesus. But for me, I'd say that Jesus is like this person I can't quite get rid of. I don't know if you guys ever had this person that you're like, you like them, but you don't like them. And you like, you just wish they could go away. And Jesus is just like that person that he just sticks to your side. And even when you want to do your own thing and when you want to say, God, go away. And he's like, I'll wait. And then you go back to him and you're like, I want you now. And he's like, okay. And then 2 hours later or 2 days later, you go again. And it just, yeah, for me, I can't really get rid of him. So that's kind of how I describe him as.
It's on now. I would say Jesus to me is like my number one, defo my bestie. But he's also like just there. Because sometimes I just want to be in solitude. And then his presence is there. And I'm like, you know what? Maybe solitude isn't the way. And I just feel like I can go to him for anything. Maybe not gossip, because that's a sin. But consultation, we're going to call it.
Consultation, I'm going to use that one.
And I just feel as though he just wraps his arms around me all the time. He's just there for me to rely on. Obviously, I have my besties in real life as well, but I don't think they come quite as close with Jesus to me.
I'll keep this short this time. So Jesus to me is a lot of things. Like Rose said, he just does everything. But in my current age where I am, I'd say that he's been quite a big guide for me, because I'm in my first year of college. For everyone who's been through college, which is a lot of people here, not calling you old, you get these questions thrown at you as you're in year 12 of what do you want to do, what do you want to do in uni, what career do you want, constant, especially in year 11 as well, for those who are taking the GCSEs, you get all these big questions thrown at you. And I feel like Jesus has been very close to me during that, and I've felt Proverbs 3:6 that says, trust in the Lord with all you do, and he will make your path straight. I know I've missed a bit out, but that's the point. And he has definitely made my path straight during this time. And yeah.
Yeah, that's amazing. It's really like challenging, isn't it, to think if you're a follower of Jesus, like who is Jesus to you personally? Is he a guide? Is he a friend? Is he your father? Your God? Your counselor? The person to go to? It's a good thing to ask yourself as well, and to think like, yeah, who is my Jesus? Adam, we'll start your end. So I'm sure many of us would agree in here, it's not always easy following Jesus. In the world that we live in our workplaces and school life, families. So can you tell us a little bit about what being a Christian is like for you and your setup in your life?
Yeah, I'd say the main word is like countercultural, in that having to constantly choose to stand out, choose to be the weird Jesus guy in your college or in your work or in your life, in your family even, it hurts. And that one of the things that I always suffer with is choosing to be different, because when there's so many people, especially in college or in school, when you've got a friend group, they are all doing something, for you to stand out and to be the black sheep and be like, actually, I don't want to do that. That's not what I believe in. It does hurt, but being a follower of Jesus does hurt, definitely. Mm. And even Jesus, who is perfect, who did everything right, still had to suffer to have his purpose fulfilled. Mm. And then another verse that I really feel speaks over this is Matthew 16:26, which reads, "What good will it be for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their soul? Or what can anyone give in exchange for their soul?" Mm. And that there's nothing in this world, not in any college, any friend group, any family that you can have that's bigger than Jesus.
Yeah, brilliant.
In my life, I wouldn't say it's easy, but God makes it easy to live like Jesus in your life. Because I go to a Catholic school, which is already a privilege, because that's the goal in the school. But there are some things in life that you just feel, do I have to be like Jesus? And you just have to make the right choice to be like Jesus. For example, my school, they have like music lessons and I do the singing. And I have the choice to do singing exams. And in the singing exams, I pick 4 songs of my choice. I've only done 1 singing exam so far, but I decided to pick a worship song. And this year I'm going to do the same thing as well. I don't know which one yet, but I'm definitely going to pick one. But last year we had this summer concert thing, and my singing teacher told me to go sing the worship song that I picked in front of like the audience that paid. And I was a bit like, that song? I picked 3 other, and I had an extra one from the board. That song specifically. And it sounded really nice. It sounded beautiful. And I was like, this could be Jesus' opportunity to shine. And I did it. But I was a bit reluctant because I was like, these are paying people from outside. Will they like it? Will they not? But I think that to pick the actual hard part is the choice. Because whatever you go through after, God will be with you and he will make it easier. Yeah. So the worst part of it is making that choice, because there's so many what ifs, what else, what if they do this to me, what if they do that. But when we actually go through with it, I think we feel much better, because we've done the right thing. If they don't like it, we'll pray for them and we'll go back to doing the right thing.
Great. Brilliant.
For me, being a Christian, hold on, let me start again. I think before, when I thought about being a Christian, it was more about just having my own personal relationship, and then outside of that, I could do whatever I wanted, act however I wanted. And then it was only this year when, around Valentine's Day, when I was just thinking about what a relationship with God looks like in a way that I can show other people him, that he kind of spoke to me. Now, during that time, I was reading this book, which, by the way, is an amazing book, and I think everyone should read this book. And it was just like a little quote bit that I'm just going to read out now. And it says, "I recently attended the wedding of one of my closest friends. It was an incredible day. The highlight of the event was the moment the doors opened and the bride appeared. The bride and the groom spontaneously started weeping, as did the whole room. It was such a powerful reflection of Christ as the bridegroom and his bride at the church. But it got me thinking, what would happen if the doors opened and the groom began to weeping while the bride remained indifferent? What if she whispered to her father, walking her down the aisle, 'You might as well get on with this so we can have kids and a family in a nice little house.' Everyone would stop and shout, 'Don't do it.' Marriage is designed for a couple who is insatiably in love. Are we the indifferent bride? What is your attitude as a part of the bride of Christ to the groom?" Anyways, so basically what that's talking about is with your relationship with Christ, it should feel more of like you're almost like married to Jesus, in a sense, to where you two, like, you openly seek God and you want to have that relationship with God and you want to be with him. And before, I treated that being a Christian as like almost like a chore, something I had to do instead of something I wanted to do. So after reading that, I really pondered on it and thought about what I could do to openly seek Christ in different ways, and that changed my view of how I want to act as a Christian. So I would start saying no to things I would normally do, and then sit out things that my friends are doing, or just talk about openly like it's normal, because it should be. But yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you, guys. Rosie and Daisy, I'm going to ask you the question. What is your heart, your prayer for your generation?
I would say mine is, I actually said this to my music teacher the other day, that to stop using the word religion, because I feel like that has, when I talk to my friends about like following Jesus and stuff, all they hear is religion, like rules, like a strict lifestyle you have to follow, when I'd rather them hear the words relationship with God. Because when I think of that, I think of like warmth, comfort, safety, and I'd rather people associate me with, or just like the whole, or all the Christians with like relationship with God, rather than strict lifestyle that we're going to try and force on you. Because I will be in school and people think I'm living this like strict life that's full of all these rules, and I'll, I don't know, get my Bible out while it's lunch, and like my friends around me will just be like, "Oh, what are you doing?" And I'm like, "Reading my Bible." And they look at me like confused, like they're expecting something else. They're expecting like a strict regime, where when actually I'm met with curiosity that like my friends have. And I would rather people my age and like future generations to know relationship with God, them hear that term more than religion, because I just feel like it would, I don't know how to explain it, like it would be better that for them to hear, because they wouldn't associate it with like what you would know.
I don't really think I've got like a prayer or anything specific for people my age. I think the one thing for everyone to remember is that you can't do it perfectly. Yeah. I mean, I think I came into Christianity and I only started to go to church when I was about 12. And I thought that it has to be perfect. I thought that before my baptism, I had to be perfect before I could get baptised, that before I could go to church every Sunday, it has to be perfect. And it's not even for young people now, it's for every single generation. You can't do it perfectly. Your walk in faith cannot be perfect. And if you say it is, you're lying to me, and that's wrong. You're not allowed to lie to me. You won't be perfect and you won't stay perfect. And it's all right that you aren't, because you're trying. And that's the only thing that God and Jesus cares about, is that you're trying to have a walk in faith with him.
Brilliant. Adam, I'm going to ask you our final question, which is, what kind of church would you love you and the the young people younger than you and the children? What kind of church would you love the youth to grow up in?
Well, for our youth at the minute, I just hope that it's something that creates memories for them. Because if you just come into church, you're just like, oh yeah, that service was all right. Don't take anything from it. And then as they go into their week, it's not in their mind. And I want the youth and the services to be something that the youth, like I did when I first came here, can come and remember what it's like. Remember how welcoming it is, how friendly everyone is, how inclusive it is, how like diverse the whole church is, including the youth. And yeah.
Yeah. Brilliant. Thank you, Adam. We're going to just read a verse from Ephesians, which should hopefully come up on the screen. And this was a verse that about 8 years ago, I just really felt that this was a verse for our young people. And it's never left me that this is like a life-changing thing if young people could grasp how loved they are. And if they could place their roots deep in Jesus. So would you read this verse with me if you can see it? I don't have that good eyesight. So we're going to read it out together. This is from Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now we're just going to keep that verse up there, and I want you to do something. Would you stretch your arms out as wide as you possibly can, wallop the person next to you if you need to. Okay, really, really, really wide. Good, now you need to go the other way. Really, really, really high. The highest you could possibly do. Brit, you can go higher. There we go, that extra stretch. Now tip down to the floor. How deep his love is for you. And back to the middle. God's love for you is 10 billion trillion times that big. And our young people have begun to experience that love, and it is a love that will change their futures and their eternities. And our prayer is that every child and every young person comes to know that love that is wide and deep and high and loves them through anything that they could ever go through. That is the love of Jesus for us.